Hallelujah. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. Oh, it's you that I see. Yes, Lord. Oh, at the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. Yes, Lord, there is power. Oh, there is power in your name. With me to the top, at the center,
at the center of it all, it's you that I see, it's you that I see.
Yes, Lord, at the center,
at the center of it all, it's you that I see, it's you that
Hallelujah.
I see.
Hallelujah, sing that again. We sing at the center, Lord,
at the center of.
One more time we sing, at the center, Lord,
at the center of it all, it's you that I see.
Hallelujah.
It's you that I see.
Oh, for there is power.
There is power in your name. Miracles happen in your name. As we lift our voice,
your name. Hallelujah. We praise your name. See it again. At the center of it all.
At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see.
Yes, Lord, you are the center.
At the center of it all, that I see.
See it again. Oh, you are, Lord, you are.
At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see.
One more time we sing, at the center.
At the center of it all, it's you that I see.
Hallelujah.
You that I see.
Oh,
miracles happen in your name. As you lift your voice in praise, it's you that I see. It's you that I see.
Oh, for there is power.
There is power in your name.
Hallelujah! Oh, we worship you, Lord! stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. You are greater, greater than the greatest, Lord. You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. Oh, you are greater, greater than the greatest, Lord.
You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. You are greater, greater than the greatest.
Oh, you are Lord.
You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest.
You are bigger, you are bigger, Lord.
You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest.
More time we sing. Oh, you are bigger, Lord.
You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher.
Here we go. Yes.
You are bigger.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you made it possible for your name to be that powerful by your obedience, by your total surrender. You were given a name that's above every other name. A name to which every knee must bow and every tongue confess. Thank you, Lord. We ask even now, Most High God, that you will help us walk in that same integrity. That integrity, O God, that is birthed out of our obedient heart, surrendered to you. So, Father, that as your word says, a good name is better than riches. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, O God, that you help us be everything that we ought to be, glorifying you, adoring you, worshiping you in spirit and in truth, a testament of the amazing grace that we have experienced by being forgiven, redeemed, and empowered to live a truly pure life in Jesus. Our sovereign Lord's name, we ask it done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to this evening service. Our gathering together is of utmost importance. I want you to understand that coming to church and listening to the Word of God, it's not something that we do ritualistically or as a tradition. It's got to be a lifestyle. It's got to be in our DNA, especially as we come into the end of the age. He says, especially at the end times, make certain that you be assembled together. Be in church. You know, and what does the devil want to do? Make sure that we are not in church. Thank God for those that are on Zoom and YouTube because they cannot be here. But if you are in this city, you need to be in church. You need to hear the word of God. You need to assemble yourself together with other believers and grow together. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, this morning I began sharing with us about seducing spirits. Early this morning, the Lord began to speak to me and show me visions that were related to that particular subject about seducing spirits being unleashed. And the Word of God tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, so the latter times are later in the period of the latter days. The latter days started when Jesus rose again from the dead. That's when the time clock started. Amen? The time clock started after Jesus, our Lord, paid the price for our redemption, rose again from the dead, ascended, and got seated in heavens. The latter days started. Now, this statement here, the latter times, is in reference to when everything is about to be wrapped up. Now, when we talk about these seducing spirits, we've got to understand that the seducing spirit started all the way in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent deceived Eve and subsequently Adam to disobey the instruction of God. Are we together so far? And from that particular time on, seducing spirits have been in operation. But the Word of God speaks here and says, expressly. Now, when we're talking about that word expressly, we're talking about God saying emphatically, without a doubt. There is no left to this or right to this. This is right dead center. Okay? And expressly also, if you've seen that word express means fast. Yeah? So the Word of God is speaking quickly. And it's saying that in the latter days, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. They are going to do what? Depart from the faith. It's not talking about your faith to believe. This is your faith in terms of the harmonization of your belief system in relationship to God, how you see God, and how God sees you, and what God said in His Word is His truth. He says some people are going to depart from it. Why? Because they gave heed to seducing spirits. You know, sometimes, you know, I've heard this so many times, been in ministry 47 plus years, you know, people say things like, you know, my child was a real strong believer, followed the dictates of the Word of God until I sent them to university. And then they came out not believing in God anymore. And they think that what happened to their child was some very smart aleck professor convinced them. No. Your child didn't need to go to the university to have his mind screwed up. Seducing spirits lured them away. And if it's a seducing spirit, then we have to target those seducing spirits so that they don't have reign in our lives. And seducing spirits don't just happen with the congregation. Seducing spirits, actually, most of the time, happen from behind the pulpit. And in essence, what God's word is talking about here, where it says some are going to depart from the faith, giving heed, desiring. That's the point. The Greek is they have this overdrive in desiring. What are they desiring? They're desiring something that will give them more power, more, you know. I've had messages, you know, people for just the simple reason to have revelation come up with crazy thoughts, crazy teaching, just to have something new. It's a new revelation. It is engineered by seducing spirits. Because that teaching that they bring in forth is either going to do one or two things. One, drive people into legalism, which is not God, or drive them into a state of being complacent with their faith. Whether they call it grace or whatever it is not the mainline truth of God. Listen, Jesus Christ our Lord did not die on the cross just to forgive us our sins. He died on the cross to give us the power to be able to overcome sin. Let me say that again. Jesus our Lord came to give us resurrection power so that we overcome, not so that we can continue to sin and say, let grace abound. Actually, let me go to Romans 6 for a quick moment. Romans chapter 6. I'll start out from about verse 1 to verse 8. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the response is, God forbid. We don't continue in sin, saying grace is abounding. He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? We are what? Dead to sin. Live any longer therein. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We are identifying with his death. What did his death do? When he died, he paid the price for sin. He went to the grave, defeated hell and all the cohorts of darkness. He rose again, setting captives free, and ascended into the heavens, seated at the right hand of the Father, far above principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and all spiritual wickedness. He says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. You died. Praise the Lord. And when you died, you got disengaged from the original marriage that you had with the devil. It was permanent divorce. Glory be to God. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead, like Christ was raised, like Christ was raised, like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Why? Because like Christ, we've been raised up from the dead by the Father, the glory of the Father. Hallelujah. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. I remember the first time the Lord led me to this particular verse. It wasn't funny because my firstborn had just been born on the 24th day of August and was born premature. He was 3 pounds, 14 ounces. We were just new in the country. We had arrived in this country May the 1st. Our insurance had not kicked in because you had to have had the insurance for at least 9 months so that it's not a pre-existent situation for the insurance to pay for your hospital stay. And we've just been here for 3-4 months. So now, this child is born premature, needed to stay until he was 5 pounds, and that was going to take about a month. And we didn't have any money. My plan was, Mama was going to go have the baby. The next day, I grab her and say, we are going home. I will take care of her. And the bill will be very minute. Now, she had to be there for a few more days. The child had to be in the incubator. And then, well, the miracles of God. They're telling us they're going to do surgery on our little baby. And I'm in the chapel in St. Boniface Hospital talking to God, and he spoke very clearly to me. Read Romans 6 and 5. So I'm excited. I'm so happy. Let me go find out what's in Romans 6 and 5. And I read this. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And I lost it. I lost it. If I've ever lost it, I lost it. I was mad. I'm very cool. Very steady going. It takes a lot to get me mad, but this day I was mad. I was upset. I was angry. I said to God, I'm talking to you about my problem, the financial problems we've got, and you're giving me this nonsense scripture. What kind of nonsense scripture is it? If it be planted in it. I was mad. But thank God, God doesn't go by how we act. He was so cool about it. He said, what was the likeness of my resurrection? And I calmed down and I thought, okay, well, you went through walls, you know. You didn't need a door, you just walked through. And you just showed up wherever you wanted to show up. I said, okay. He said, this bill that you're going to have from where you are to when you're going to pay it, is that some long time? I said, yes. Do you think this problem that you are now facing is like a wall? I said, yes. He said, so if you planted in the likeness of my death, you shall rise in the likeness of my resurrection. You're going to go through this wall. And from being mad, I got happy. Talking about being schizophrenic. I've swung the other way. Woo, hallelujah, praise God. God paid that bill. I went to start paying. I think I paid 2 times. Very little amount. I went the 3rd time and they said, you don't have a bill here. I said, what do you mean? I don't have a bill. You don't have a bill? We don't see any bill here. I said, what? I don't have a bill for the birth of my child? He said, there's no bill here. Wow. I don't know if God canceled the bill or some brother or sister somewhere said, let's help that folk. And then went to pay it. I don't know what happened, but I just know I don't have a bill. And don't go tell St. Boniface Hospital to go check again. Because it's 40-something years now. Hallelujah. Anyhow, that was a slight distraction there. But it says, knowing this, you got to know this, that your old man is crucified with him. The old man died with him. It's crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed. In essence, the body of sin in your life, when you receive Jesus Christ and you have identified with him, that body of sin is destroyed. That henceforth, from now on, we should not what? Serve sin. We should not serve sin because sin becomes a master. It becomes your boss that controls you. He says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. So the question I need to ask myself is, am I dead so that I'm freed from sin? Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being, present tense continuous, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. He is just rising, but he doesn't die. He keeps on. Hallelujah. Death hath no more dominion over him. And the thought then is, if death doesn't have dominion over him, sin doesn't have dominion over him, and that death doesn't have dominion over you, and sin doesn't have dominion over you. Praise the Lord. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. We live unto God. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. You are alive unto God through Jesus. You must account yourself, reckon yourself dead unto sin. That means you must not allow sinful activities and actions to maneuver and influence your thinking. Praise the Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, whatever that sin is. Don't let it reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Because sin, lust, it desires things that are not of God. He says, don't be that. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. So what does the devil do? What does sin do? It wants to use your body. Hello? Sin wants to use your body. You are not the sinner. Sin is wanting to use your body. Use your mind. Use your words. He says, so don't give yourself, don't give your members, don't give your tongue, don't give your eyes, don't give your mind, don't give your stomach, don't give your hands, don't give your feet, don't give any part of you, don't give your heart to the devil, so he can use it, because that's what he wants to. Sin cannot in itself be. It has to use something. Do you get that? He says, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. As one who is alive from the dead, yield yourself unto God, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under what? Grace. You see, so when we live the life of grace, we are no longer sinners. We are no longer yielding our members to sin. So people who live under grace, the grace of God, are not, oh, I stole, I'm under grace. The devil's a liar. Oh, I smoked marijuana and took some drugs, but I'm under grace. No, that's not how it works. Anybody who teaches that garbage is operating with a seducing spirit. I don't care how big the ministry is, it is leading you to hell and to the lake of fire. If you mess up, you cry out to God and say, God, that's not me. I repent that I yielded my members to the devil. Help me not to yield. Help me not to be deceived. Because you can overcome anything that the enemy throws at you. The enemy can bad your mind with all kinds of nonsense, making you think all kinds of crazy stuff that you didn't even want to think about. But he dragged your mind in there. You retrieve your mind. You call your mind back. Mind, come back here. Is somebody listening? That's how it works. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in all kinds of situations, but did not sin, because he knew how to get back his mind. Turn these stones and make it bread. No, we're not doing that. It is written. Hallelujah. You got to study the Word of God. You've got to embrace the Word of God to be a person approved of God. A person who is not going to be ashamed. Yeah. Everybody blows it sometime. You know, somebody pushes you the wrong way. You want to say all kinds of crazy stuff. But you say, pull yourself together. Pull yourself together. Don't go there. And then you calm down. Calm down, calm down. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, people will push your buttons. But you've got to take a hold of your mind. We practice that so that we don't become subject to the influence of seducing spirits. It's not that one day seducing spirits are going to come and say, look at me, I'm a seducing spirit. No, it's a serpent. It crawls in and starts talking funny, telling you what God is denying you. If God is this, why that? I was well, forget that. Let's leave that alone. The Word of God says, as we said this morning, in these last days, there are people who are going to heap to themselves teachers of unrighteousness. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3, let me just revisit that for a moment. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And when the Lord said to me this morning, actually ago, he said, time has shifted. You know, when you watch the clock, you know, stays in one spot. That says it's at 11:45. and it stays there like that, and then all of a sudden, it's a minute. Yeah? Well, the time clock changed 2 weeks ago when God called us to midnight prayer. Is it something that's going to change? And I want you to watch from 2 weeks ago to see how things are going to change so quickly. We just averted a major crisis yesterday, just yesterday. Let me tell you what happened yesterday. The plan was for the man that they've been trying to stop to kill him yesterday. Yeah. The person who was going to shoot him, they saw him. 5 minutes. They left a whole area wide open so that when he shoots and kills the president or the next president, then they will shoot the person who shot. The guy shot, but God. Someone say, but God. The guy turned his face, and when he turned his face, the bullet grazed, and they shot the person that shot him. How did they know to shoot the person that quickly? They wanted him out. They've tried everything. They can't stop him, so they wanted him out. And do you know what kind of mess that would have taken us into? The whole place would have been blown up. No, because people get fed up to a point, and they say, okay, that's it. And whatever happens there will affect us here. Thank God for mercy. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Seducing spirit is influencing people's minds, controlling what they do. He says the time is going to come. People are not going to listen to sound doctrine, the true, pure word of God. You know, being a minister of the gospel for many years now, how many times have I seen people come to church and say, thank you so very much for the word, excuse me, for the word that you're preaching. It is so pure, it's so true. Thank you for giving it to us the way it should be preached. You know how many times I've seen them last maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then that's it. And say, we want the truth. No, you can't handle the truth. I want the truth. Then when you hear it, you take a hike. But God is going to build his church. Hallelujah. Said they will not endure, they will not last, they will not go through. You see, will not endure sound doctrine. That's like lifting weights. All of your muscles are aching, but you're still working at it. You're enduring. It does not mean that endurance does not mean it is easy. It's not easy when you sit down and you're hearing the word of God and the pastor is stepping all over your feet. And before you know it, there's a big uppercut from the word of God. Pow! You say, oh, I thought you... Slow down, man, slow down. I'm just human. No. It's not easy. You want to punch somebody's lights out and the guy's saying, forgive. What forgive? Forgive what? Do you know what they did? Okay, let me punch his lights out first and then I'll ask for forgiveness. It's not easy. But God's word says, endure. They endured sound doctrine. If the message you are hearing is not challenging you, you're in the wrong place. You're not hearing the right word. The right word will stretch you. It's not condemning you. It is training you and giving you fortitude. It's giving you the ability to resist the devil. The sound doctrine of the Word of God is empowering you so that when you face up with the enemy, you don't run, the enemy flees. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It says, but after their own loss, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. The listeners have itching ears. The minister has itching ears. So we've got a lot of scratching going on. Hallelujah. Yeah? That's what's happening. Everybody wanting to hear what they want to hear in the name of religion. In the name of faith, I'm a Christian. No, you're not a Christian if your heart is not surrendered to God. Carrying a 10x4 Bible, a Christian does not make. It's a lifestyle. Of faithful walking before God. He says they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, fairy tales, things that are not true. In Matthew chapter 24, 12, it says this. Matthew 24:12. It says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But it says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, in verse 24, this statement is made. Verse 24, Matthew 24:24. And this is the 24th year in this century. It says, for there shall arise false Christ, false anointed ones, and false prophets. And they are all over the place. There are false prophets today that will tell you, you know, all kinds of things about you that you did not inform them about. That's not based on the Spirit of God, but based on other spirits, the spirit, marine spirits, spirits of necromancy, and whatever else. They've acquired powers to tell you your address, your license plate, the school that you attended, everything. They'll tell you everything. They'll go way back and tell you your history. And it will be true. But they are not followers of God. He says, they shall show great signs and wonders. I thought only true believers being led by the Spirit of God will show signs, wonders, and miracles. But the Word of God says these are false Christ, false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, They shall deceive the very elect, if it were possible. Meaning that it were not, it isn't possible. Huh? It is not possible. But if it were possible, they would have deceived even the elect. How do you know this fake ones? You just have to listen long enough to hear what they are saying, and you'll find inside of all of that good that they are saying, something very, very wrong. The Bible tells us in Timothy that these are going to be people that lead silly women, it says, silly women. And there are people today, ministers, they say, sister, I want to see you. I want to see you means you're going to sleep together. And they have the authority because they need some more anointing. Now, that is the wickedness that's taking place in our world today. From the pulpit to the congregation, people are being seduced by the lies and the deceptions of the evil one. The devil's a liar. He says they are going to show signs. He says, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. Now, I'm going to say something here that is going to be upsetting to some, because I know what I say here has been listened to by all kinds of people. Why do you need to leave your house, leave the church, and go to some bush somewhere to pray so that God can hear you in the bush, like God doesn't know how to hear you in town? What kind of craziness is that? Let's go to the bush to go pray with the mosquitoes. That's how we're going to get the power. Really? We're going to spend 5 days in the bush. We're going to climb up this mountain. By the time you get up there, you're so tired. And when you're feeling so old, the devil will come and show up his ugly face and tell you all kinds of funny stories. Well, Jesus went to the wilderness. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. So the Holy Spirit is leading us into the wilderness to be tempted. When you went there, were you tempted by the devil? And what did you say? Did you say it is written? No, we came back with a revelation. But you didn't go through any temptation. Ah, that's suspect. That is suspect. Yeah, people retreat and go spend some time praying, crying out to God, to hear God. That is all nice and wonderful. But the Lord says, they're going to tell you, he's in that closet. In that chamber, come to this special room, this special chamber. He said, don't go, don't go, don't go. Don't go with them. Because seducing spirits are over there. Be spiritually smart. He says, My coming is going to be very obvious. It's going to be like the lightning. Everybody's going to see it from the east to the west. Everybody's going to see it. I'm not hiding nothing. I'm not in no secret place over there. What I'm going to do is going to be very open. Hallelujah. Now, seducing spirits. Just give me a moment here. 1 Kings chapter 11. He says, but King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. Why? For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. He says, Solomon clave unto these in love. He gave his heart to these women. God warned all of Israel, don't do this because they are going to turn your heart away from God. The point is, thinking that you're going to mess with that which God says is going to destroy you and think you're going to escape it is foolishness. If God says, don't do this, it's going to hurt you, say, I can handle it. I can handle it. You can? Let's find out. He says, and he had, not only did he disobey, he had 700 wives. One is not enough. 700. Wow. 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. That's 1,000. And the Bible says, and his wives turned away his heart. Did it just happen by accident? The Bible says, for it came to pass when Solomon was what? When he was old. It was not when he was young. You see, God does not warn you and I about things that we can handle at this very moment. He knows all of our days, and he knows when you will not be able to handle it. You get used to it and becomes your new normal. When he got old, his youth is not renewed like the eagle. He says, when he was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And someone did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. So that tells us something. It is giving your heart fully after God, staying committed to God and obeying God. But watch this. He says, then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto other gods. He built places for them. You want to worship your God? Okay. We believe in diversity. Everybody doing their own thing. You like this place? What do you want there? And he built it for them. Solomon. He's supposed to be wise, the wisest man. But because his heart was not focused on God, he was deceived. And listen to this. It says, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. God had appeared to him twice, warned him about this. Did he obey? No, he did not listen. We have mighty men of God falling like dominoes because they did not listen. And had commanded him concerning this thing. God had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. God himself told him, don't go after other gods. But what does the Bible tell us? He went after the women. But the agenda was the worship of other gods. The resources that belong to the temple, the resources that belonged to the kingdom, is now being spent for other gods. We still do the same thing today. We allow our minds not to focus first on the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and we allow other things to come in and cram God out of our hearts, out of our minds. Seducing spirits. Seducing spirits. They are there to seduce, and even Solomon was seduced. But the remarkable thing is, Solomon, who is seduced, he didn't look like he lost anything, but his children lost out because of a hardness of heart. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. Ephesians 4, 18. He says, having the understanding darkened, the understanding darkened, being, present tense, continuous, alienated from the life of God, separated, alien to the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. They were ignorant. Matthew 19 and verse 8. This is what causes seducing spirit to be successful. When your heart is blinded. He says about Moses. He says unto Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. I allowed you to have divorces because of the hardness of your heart. Now, why do you pride yourself? Well, I can divorce and get remarried. Well, you just asserted the fact. I had a hardness of heart. Do you get a point? I have a hardness of heart. That's why I got divorced and I'm remarrying. But what happens to people with hardness of heart? They, like Solomon, get deceived. We've got to be obedient to the word of God. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. Hebrews 3 and 15. It says, while it is said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. God spoke to them, they hardened their hearts, and the end result is provocation and disaster. Let's look at Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. God describes your heart. Jeremiah 17. and verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You got to protect your heart. For out of your heart comes forth the issues of life. You've got to protect the waters of your life. If you're going to drink water from a well, you don't dump all kinds of stuff inside that well. You don't throw garbage inside the well you want to drink from, or the stream that you want to drink from. You don't throw all kinds of crazy stuff into it. God says, guard your heart. How do you guard your heart? You guard your heart by guarding your hearing. What you're listening to. What are you listening to? What are you paying attention to? You listening to some foolish talk? Then you're polluting your heart. You don't sit around and listen to unbelief. You don't sit around and listen to, this is true, but. No, once you put the but, get your but out. Hello? That might be crude, but I'm trying to save you and save me. Because you don't want to end up at H-E double hockey sticks. Because H-E double hockey sticks is going to end up in the lake of fire. If you don't do it because of the love of God, do it because you are afraid, very afraid to go the wrong way. I don't care which way you go, but just make sure you don't go to that address. Amen. Well, I thank God as I wrap for this evening for Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. Ezekiel 36 and 26. There's so much more that I should share with us, but I will hold it there. The Word of God says, a new heart also will I give you. That's my prayer today. That God will take the hardness of our hearts. Take that heart that is hard, that is rebellious, that is resisting the word of God. That God will take that heart away from every one of us. He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I need that. We all need that. A new heart and a new spirit. He says, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. What is that? When God talks about the heart of flesh, he's not talking about the heart of carnality, which is a mindset of the world, but the heart of flesh here represents a tender heart, a heart that is soft, a heart that can pump, circulate good blood, a heart that is oxygenated with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We need to have that, because if your heart is hardened, it's not going to pump blood. And if it's not pumping blood, it means that you're not going to have proper water circulation either. And if it is not pumping blood, watch this, it's not going to get to your brain. So what is going to happen? You're going to become brain dead. Huh? Can't think straight. Because the blood is not going all the way. God says, I'm going to give you a heart that's going to get you thinking right, acting right, moving right. A heart that is going to cause you to walk in proper stability. Not subject to seducing spirits. Because that heart is obedient to the directives of God. The one thing, ultimately, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to bring to us, whether it was in the life that he lived, in the death that he died, in him going through the experience of hell and rising up and ascending, the one thing is summed up by one thing that he did not come with. Ultimately, the Bible says he learned one thing. He learned what? Obedience. How? Through the things that he suffered. Yeah? Okay. And the fact is then this, that our obedience is not without suffering. Don't fall apart because something hit you. You got challenged, you got tempted, you got whatever, cursed out, you're afflicted. I'm not going to do this Christian thing anymore. I don't believe in it anymore. Why don't you? Well, I don't know if it is working. Oh, well, you just hush your mouth already. Tell that devil that's trying to deceive you to take a hike. Get away from me. Even though he slays me, yet will I serve him. I'm going to worship God no matter. I'm not worshiping him because of things. I want to have a relationship with him. I want to know him. And as you know him, you begin to do exploits. Don't live your life based on things. Things may come, things may not come. But one thing I can assure you is this. If you know God, things will surely come. He says, if you seek first my kingdom and all of his righteousness, every other thing that everybody else is asking for will be added unto you. As I obey God, I see God's hand moving in my life. God says to me, I want this from you. I turn it over to him. It looks like nothing is happening. Just like you put seed in the ground, it doesn't look like something's happening. But don't go dig your seed up. Water it with the word. In one day, it will break through the ground. But that's not the harvest yet. You keep on giving it the nourishment that it needs, and it will come to a time when it starts flowering. If it's an apple tree or whatever, it will first give you flowers. But that's not the apple. But where the flowers used to be, apples begin to show up. And you keep at it. And one day, there is your big fat Macintosh. Just stick with God. I don't know why I will be preaching such word to us who are believers already, other than the word of God says, in the last days, there's going to be a falling away. The love of many shall wax cold. Make sure that your love doesn't wax cold. Engage with God. Stick with him. And if you see your brother sliding, pull him into order. We help each other. Amen? Hallelujah. Do we all want to make it? Okay. Let's work with each other, help each other. We're not called to gripe and fight and talk about each other and tear each other down. God doesn't come and do that to you. He'll speak to you. And he will help you. But God is not in the business of tearing people down. Don't kick your brother when he's down. Lift him up. And say, we're going to hang around. And when that devil is trying to talk to you again, we're going to shoot it down with the word of truth. Because the brother that you don't help exposes you to be alone. And when you're alone, when cold comes, nobody's exchanging heat with you. You're going to freeze. Get your brother to stay alive. Get the blood going. You might save yourself too. Thus saith the Lord. Well, thank you so very much for being here. I celebrate the goodness of God and the privilege accorded me once again to share the word of God with you. At this time, we will continue by giving out of a pure heart our tithes, our offerings. Your giving is important. I mean, if you love your pastor, you love your pastor. You want me to be all gray and wrinkled, concerned about the bills? If you love me, give. Is that straight talk? Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, I know you love me. It doesn't matter how I look. But give anyway. Amen. That's how God set it up. He wants us to be the ones that he uses to keep things going. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I encourage you, even when I'm on holidays, I'm giving. Because I know there are things that need to be done. When I'm away, I'm giving. And if I didn't give it before I left, when I come back, I give for every service. I have a minimum. Every service that I missed, given, I'll write it. Because that's my commitment with the Lord. And God has been good to me. Amen. Amen. He's meeting my needs for his glory. Hallelujah. Whether I get a wage or don't get a wage paid, doesn't matter. I just rest in God's goodness. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord bless us all. Well, we'll cut off from those that are on Facebook and YouTube if we haven't yet. I'd like to remind us about the block party that's coming up.